Welcome into an episode of Light the Lamp. I'm Alexis Downey, and I am very excited to welcome on our guest today, someone that we had at the very beginning of Light the Lamp, the first episode. We're welcoming her back now. Linda Cohn is joining us. Linda, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. So great to be on with you, Alexis. So proud of you, the way this has just been such a good stage for you and for the doc. So congratulations to you on that.
Thank you so much. It's great to catch up with you and have you on the show once again. And it's a busy time of the year because it's the Stanley Cup final right now. You were just at game three.
Two.
It was game two. I had to think back. Yeah. Okay. It was in
Thank
Edmonton.
Goodness I wasn't at game three. Game three was awful.
It was the boring game. Yeah.
Yes.
How was game two? And you were there as a fan.
Yeah, this was great. I mean, I went with my brother. My brother lives in Orange County. And, you know, you know this, Alexis. I've always told you when I first met you, I think we first met when you were with Colorado with the Avalanche. And I think it's there when we were talking about connections with teams. And mm-hmm. I was sharing at that time my connection with the Ducks, actually. And we talked about that, I think, in the first episode, that my parents, who are no longer with us, but used to live in Orange County, and they kind of adopted the Ducks as their team. We all grew up in New York, obviously, so we were Ranger fans. But because my parents were so into the Ducks, and then my brother got into the Ducks, you know, there was always an emotional tie there with me. And so thus the connection there. So my brother, who lives in Orange County, he's a huge hockey fan. He actually plays pickup hockey as well in Orange County. My career has long been over a few years. But anyway, we were like, we got to get to a final game. Mm. And, you know, he's really busy. I'm kind of busy. But we figured out that we could pull off game two in Edmonton. I had never been to Edmonton. Mm. My sister-in-law is actually from Edmonton. Okay. So anyone who saw me pose wearing an Edmonton Oilers t-shirt, don't get on my case. I was supporting my sister-in-law. I was there with my brother. And, you know, as I like to say, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. And, you know, I would stick out like a sore thumb if I wore anything other than an Oilers something. So I had some fun with that. But what was great, we broke the bank. We really did. I never had the opportunity to sit behind a bench. You know, I've been in between the benches working. But that's when you're working. It's different. When you're a fan of the game. So we were actually right behind the Florida Panthers bench for game two. Mm-hmm. And if anyone who has a short memory, that's too bad, because that was just one of the greatest games ever. It was the double overtime game. It was Corey Perry, former Duck legend, scoring with 17.8 seconds left to go in regulation to send the game into overtime, goes into double overtime. And it was just a great experience to watch, you know, behind, in this case, the Panthers bench mm-hmm. throughout the game, to watch guys like Brad Marchand and Sam Bennett and the head coach, Paul Maurice, and see what incredible organization that is. And how those players pull in the same rope for each other. Not that Edmonton doesn't, but the fans there were incredible, Alexis. I mean, everyone we met in Edmonton, in and around the arena, at the game, wherever, at the hotel, whatever, everyone was so nice. So it was so worth it for my first time ever in Edmonton, period.
And one of the things we were chatting about before this started was how important it is to never lose that fandom. Getting to be a fan at a game, a very rare thing for you, but being in that atmosphere, what was that like experiencing all of that?
Yeah, and I think that is important. And I think that's one thing that, I know for a fact sets me apart, and it's my choice. You know, there are a lot of people in our business that they have said themselves they have become jaded. Mm. They're not the fan they used to be, and they just accept it. Well, I never let myself go to that place. And yeah, again, I grew up a Rangers fan. There's always a place in my heart for the Rangers. Yes. But I'm more of now just a hockey fan, like mm-hmm. stories. I'm a fan of great stories. The Edmonton Oilers in the playoffs, in the final, was a great story. I wanted to experience that as a fan, not sitting up on the rooftop, not being able to get excited, because people, your listeners may not know that when you're sitting up there in the top row in the media, not only you're like, you know, down, the players look like ants, but the other part of it, you have to sit on your hands, basically. Mm-hmm. You can't be human. you can't show any emotion. You can't do anything. You just got to sit there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was never me. That's never the reason why I got involved in sports. And so that's why it's worth every penny. And I did pay for my tickets, trust me. And they were overpriced. Trust me. Yeah, StubHub.
All those fees.
They didn't tell me about the fees. If I sat behind the Oilers bench, it would have been like double the price. But it still was no bargain behind the Panthers bench. Man, was it worth it, because there was so many great moments. And of course, I was a witness right up close to seeing the amazing Connor McDavid assist. That was just incredible in that game too. I mean, it was endless highlights of greatness. A first period that felt like an entire regular season, not in a bad way, but in like an exciting, so many things happened, five goals, and just, it was a game in itself that first period. So it was really worth it. And I think people should not lose the fact, don't ever get jaded about being a fan, even though, you know, you might be a certain age, you can't lose that little boy, little girl in you. Mm-hmm.
You truly had the best game to be at. And it's led you to, now you mentioned you're going to be going to the next game this week as well.
Right. Yeah. Game four. So this was like, so now my brother sadly can't make it, but so I'm going solo and I am going to sit in the crowd. And it will not cost me as much as Edmonton cost me. And I will not be behind a bench. Thus, why it will not cost me as much. Mm-hmm. But I will be in the building. I will not be wearing any Edmonton Oilers stuff. I'll tell you that. People who don't know, I mean, I might be donning a Sergei Bobrovsky something, because I've always been a big fan of his, the way he plays the position. I was a goalie. And so if I do wear anything Panthers, it would be that. And also back in the day, I tried out for the Panthers in a fun little PR thing stunt with other when they were doing a fun thing about needing an e-bug because all their goalies were hurt. And so anyone who wanted to see it, you can just put Linda Cohn Panthers in there in YouTube and you'll see.
I'm gonna need to look this up.
Yeah, all that stuff comes up. So I tried out. So it was so great. I mean, there were like 25 goalies trying out, if I recall, at least in my group. And it was a great experience, because I took shots from former NHLer Sean Thornton, who, you know, shot from everywhere on me. I got to work with Panthers goalie coach Rob Tallis. I mean, it was incredible. And we had it on SportsCenter. It was really an amazing experience. So my heart is big, Alexis. So there's a place in my heart for the Florida Panthers as well.
All the hockey teams. In a good way, like you said, you're a hockey fan, and it's nice to be a fan of all the different stories that there are. And there's been a lot of stories in this Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Did you going into the playoffs this year, did you expect kind of what we're seeing? Did you have a Stanley Cup favorite heading into the finals?
Well, you know, to your point about how, you know, I like all teams, and my point of I like a good story.
Yeah.
I love the story going into the playoffs of the Winnipeg Jets. I felt so bad for their fan base. I picked them to win the Stanley Cup before the postseason began. That was more my heart talking because of Connor Hellebuck, who is like the nicest, one of the nicest humans out there. When I was doing hockey for ESPN and, you know, in between the benches a couple of years back, and I was covering the postseason, it was Winnipeg against Vegas, I think. And Connor Hellebuck couldn't have been nicer. I mean, I love this guy, because he wrote a children's book about, you know, that really worked on mental health. I mean, all these kind of great things. And I was like, you know what? And they got to meet fans, and their captain, Adam Lowry, is just a good guy who loves being in Winnipeg. And the players that play for Winnipeg love being in Winnipeg. And I wanted them to win the cup. And then it just didn't work out. It was sad. So am I shocked that Edmonton and Florida is in this incredible rematch? No. You know, because both teams, especially Florida, at the trade deadline, again, Bill Zito, GM of the year in my book every year of late, you know, somehow getting Brad Marchand and Seth Jones to, you know, help their back line. But the Brad Marchand thing, look at him now.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is just every game he's, you know, cha-ching. He's earning more and more money because it's, you know, he can sign anywhere after this year. And, you know, the guy's 37, so he'll probably be looking for no more 1-year deals. He can probably get himself paid for 3 more years, get a 3-year deal from this performance that he's having. So I think it's a treat for all hockey fans that we get this rematch. And we know the story of Connor McDavid and that incredible, that makes you absolutely break down in tears to watch him break down in tears in the Oilers dressing room after they lost by 1 goal after coming all the way back from a 3-0 deficit to force a game 7 and then only losing by 1 goal. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. So yeah. I think it's great that this is a rematch, but I didn't like what I saw in game 3 with the Oilers. It was not a good look. I tweeted about that. I was very disappointed. I don't know why they decided they wanted to be just, you know, trying to pick fights with like Florida, like with using their stick and doing just like, I don't know, just not great things.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know that, you know, there, I know there's a fan base for hockey that they love the fighting. I'm not a big fan of the fighting. I'm not, I don't think it's, I didn't like that whole game 3. You know, here's the problem, Edmonton Oilers and your fans, you have that and you can't get Connor McDavid out on the ice because you're already in the penalty box and you're trying to kill off penalties by taking these stupid penalties that the Oilers are doing. And guess who stays on the bench? Connor McDavid for like a half hour, for 48 minutes. You're not going to win that way. So I didn't know what happened there. And this is going to be a quick series if they continue to let out their frustrations in that way.
Yeah, I got to be a little bit more disciplined. I feel like game 4 will be a different game based on the way game 3 went. But we're talking about all of this hockey. We have to talk about the Anaheim Ducks, too. I know you've got a place in your heart for our team down here in Orange County. And it's been a busy offseason so far, hiring Joel Quenneville as the new head coach of the team. Was that a surprise to you when you heard that news?
I don't think it was a surprise. I was happy. I was happy because I believe that, you know, I mean, he knows what he did. He served his penance. You know, it was time. It was time to give him a shot. And kudos to the Ducks, knowing that this is a guy, we know about his pedigree and his resume, you know, the 3 Stanley Cups and with Chicago. And it is putting once again, Anaheim's always on the map to me. And, you know, but as you know, Alexis, in the hockey world, they don't want to be forgotten. And you hire a guy like Joel Quenneville. Now that's must-see TV. In other words, you're going to care about how Joel Quenneville does with his new team, the Anaheim Ducks. So people are going to be interested and they're going to be super interested once the team starts putting up W's, which I believe they will. And that was a great first step by the incredible owners of the Anaheim Ducks. And the other thing that we're hearing, as you know, talk about buzz and excitement. I think I was more surprised to hear the leader in the clubhouse, according to these rumors, to sign UFA Mitch Marner, the top free agent out there, are the Anaheim Ducks. I mean, that was more shocking to, I think, a lot of people in the hockey world. And I know there are other teams also looking at, of course, Mitch Marner. You know, and I was on a podcast last week called The Broadway Block, and they asked me about Mitch Marner. Like, they focus on the Rangers, you know, and about whether Mitch Marner, you know, would make a good Ranger. And I'll say to you what I'll say to them. I said to them that Mitch Marner is one of the best regular season players out there. Top 5. Key 2 words, regular season. The Ducks are in a different situation than the Rangers. Even though the Rangers didn't make the playoffs this year, they have enough talent to do so. And they have a new coach in Mike Sullivan. So they're sort of like in that same way, but it hasn't been, you know, Ducks, we all know the 7-year slump by not making the playoffs. But if the Ducks get a Mitch Marner, well, that's different because he'll get you in the playoffs and he will help that young talent on the Ducks, the Mason Marchmans of the world, right? Gautier, the list goes on and on, you know, even Trevor Zegras, who of course I love, you know, all I'll always love Trevor Zegras.
Yeah.
All of these guys, he will bring that pedigree. And Mitch Marner's what, only 28 years old? So I think that would be money well spent. And you know what? The added icing to this cake for the Ducks and their fans, if somehow the Ducks can sign Mitch Marner, you're stealing him away from the LA Kings, who are also very much interested in signing Mitch Marner. And the Ducks, as we all know, and you have had a front row seat to this the last couple of years, is, you know, they need offense. Mm-hmm. They need a playmaker and they need a goal scorer. And that's what Mitch Marner is.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how the rest of this offseason shapes out for the team. I mean, ownership has been no stranger to the fact that now is the time. The checkbook is open. Henry Samueli has even said to the media that Pat and the hockey ops can look at making these types of moves now. And, you know, he also has said that they are looking for someone who can provide more offense for this team. And not only that, but you're talking about some of the young guys in this locker room, but having another leader in terms of up front, I mean, that's another added bonus, I think, for this group at this point and where they're at.
Yeah. And the other thing that I was reading, which maybe just be clickbait, but I got excited about it. If I was a season ticket holder for the Ducks, is to get Patrick Kane here, reunited with Q, right?
Yeah. And
Patrick Kane, I know he's like obviously getting up there, but to your point, talk about a leader, talk about a guy that's won cups, talk about all of that. You know, he 2 years ago, he came to the Rangers at the trading deadline, but he wasn't completely healthy. So he wasn't that great. He was great with Detroit, nobody was expecting a lot, but still did not get him in the playoffs. But I think that maybe that little oomph will be having Coach Q as your coach again. I would definitely explore that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities this offseason for the team to look at all these names that are being thrown around like we've been talking about now, too. But I kind of want to go back to something you touched on earlier, talking about SportsCenter, something very dear to your heart. And I know that it was around a month ago, almost the final show for SportsCenter Los Angeles. What was that like? I mean, your run there over, what was it, 30, did I read, that you were a host on? Yeah. So talk about the emotions of that coming to a close.
Yeah, obviously most of my, July 1 of this year, it'll be 33 years at ESPN for me. I'm the longest running SportsCenter anchor, male or female. I came out here 7 years ago to L.A., most of the bulk of that time was at Bristol, Connecticut, the hub of ESPN, where I was at SportsCenter. When I came out here, it was a breath of fresh air. No pun intended. It was more like the crew. It's a smaller crew in LA than it was, obviously, when you work at a hub. Mm-hmm. And it was like the old, to me, it reminded me of the old school SportsCenter that I was had a big part of, where it was real SportsCenter, highlight driven, not about the anchor and being a, personality and all that. It was more about the athlete and the highlight and adding your personality to that. And bringing out the best in that through yourself, but not taking away from the athlete or the team or the actual highlight. So that was a part of why the SportsCenter from LA was so great. And also the big reason as well is that we were all about the West Coast and, sports. And we always led with the West Coast teams, in every sport, whatever it was. In the last few years, since ESPN got hockey back or a part of it, they even were getting better with doing more of the hockey, because obviously, believe me, you're preaching to the choir when I hear fans all the time tell me, Linda, ESPN doesn't care about hockey. I go, listen, A, I'm not in those meetings. B, if I was, it wouldn't be that way.
Right.
And C, they got better all the time. But I know, you know, SportsCenter in LA, we were very open to, you know, we would lead with LA Sparks highlights, you know, I mean, and WNBA. I mean, it was just all about the West Coast. And it was sad because May 19th was, we only found out 6 weeks before the whole crew that it was going to shut down. And May 19th was the last show, almost a month ago. And, you know, it was pretty sad because all the people that I work with, a lot of young people, a lot of people that just took them by surprise. You know, it's different for me. I'm a tail end of my career, but myself, I really felt bad, you know, and they suddenly either they had families, my colleagues, or, you know, a significant other or whatever. They suddenly had to find another job. And it was just tough. So, but I, when I look around, I see many have found some, but then I look around, I see some have not yet. I don't know what I'm going to do. I know I'm not going back to Bristol, Connecticut. And so my big goal is, because hockey is such a big part of my life, is to be a part of a hockey team in some way. No, I can't suit up my goaltending equipment and play again.
Are you sure?
You know what? I don't think I can. The eyesight's going, Alexis. I can't do it. Can't do it with glasses. Although they have those cool goalie masks where I probably could do it with glasses, but let's not put that in my head at all. But I, and although I think I'm in better shape than I was about 10 years ago, but, you know, I would love to be part of like, you know, a hockey ops or, you know, community relations or marketing or something like that for a team like the Ducks. You know, I like to stay out on the West Coast, if not the Ducks and the Kings or something like that. So, you know, that's what's sort of like in my future. I still might have play a little small role with ESPN. Not sure what that is yet in the coming year.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing what that next role ends up being for you, Linda, and love having you a part, of course, of the hockey community. One more thing also about SportsCenter Los Angeles. I mean, do you have any fond memories that stand out over the years? It seems like it was a job that you really loved. So anything in particular that stands out when you think back?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I enjoyed when I talked to, you know, Frank Vetrano, Frank the Tank. He came on with me and he was so great and gracious. And he's one of my faves and he signed a jersey for me. And that was so cool. Trevor Zegras, I've had on when they when he and Sonny Milano, when Sonny was part of the team, they came on together and talked about the Michigan goal, you know, a few years ago. And Z gave me a jersey, which I love. They're both hanging in. Z's is framed.
I was going to say, and, where are all the jerseys now?
Z's is framed and is in storage right now because where I live, I don't have a place for it. It's like so huge. And Frank's is in my closet right now, hanging up. So, you know, when you see him, you could tell him. And also,
is it the new logo?
It is the new logo.
Okay. Okay.
From last year, right?
Yep,
last
year. The new orange.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. Love it. Love it. So that's that. And other couple of things, so like, that's like the sports, end of it, you know, like a lot of the athletes that I get, you know, interview because they came through LA, obviously much more than back in the day in Connecticut. And the other thing is, you know, I got to meet one of my, you know, teenage dreams, basically, but I think I was a little older than a teenager when Rob Lowe came in and we chatted forever and I interviewed him and, but we chatted for an hour in the green room and I was asking him fun things about some of his movies and he was just so delightful. That's one of the great things. And then, another interview I did that I remember, and he was so nice. The lead singer of Creed, Scott Stapp, he's a big sports fan, and I enjoyed talking to him. So of all the ones, I know I'm leaving a bunch out, but it's just that was the beauty of being able to host SportsCenter in Los Angeles, because you really never knew who you would have the opportunity to interview.
I'm glad you said that, because, I mean, the market here out in Southern California and Los Angeles, you really never know who will show up. But you even look at all the different sporting events, all the celebrities that come to games. It's a really unique thing that we have here in SoCal.
Yeah, it really is. And that was one of the things when we were all given the news that this SportsCenter studio, that it was going to close for SportsCenter, we were like, let me get this straight. Forget the sports teams that are like the LA Dodgers, oh, by the way, you know, just coming off of winning a championship. The Lakers, who always seem to attempt to win, you know, the Kings, who are, you know, always on a mission, you know, and all these teams, right? And then, of course, you know, Ducks getting better. And we go on and on and on and on. And they decide to shut it down. And that's, we also brought up the whole celebrity thing and how that helped set SportsCenter apart and kept it alive, because all these people grew up, including you, grew up watching me and, you know, and my colleague, Stan Verrett, for that matter, because he's with the company for about 25 years. And that was all going to go away. And that was really unfortunate. And yeah, that was, it will be missed. It is, you know, it's not that, or we're proud of that show because it wasn't cookie. It was never cookie cutter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it was, it's better than anything. It was the best show. It was the best SportsCenter on. I know I might be a little biased, but even when Neil Everett was a part of it, he left a year and a half ago. And even when I was just doing In the Crease, and filling in on SportsCenter, In the Crease was an ESPN Plus show, a hockey highlight show. I mean, that show was the best going, the SportsCenter. So it's not just because I was on it.
Well, I have a lot of fond memories just watching, you know, over the years, and certainly will miss it myself. And, you know, thank you for taking the time today, Linda, to catch up with us here on Light the Lamp. And I know that you're able to take some time now, play some tennis, hang out with your dog. I'm glad you've been able to do those things too.
Yep. Going to a lot of concerts too. Very excited.
Awesome.
Really, because now, you know, let me try to think, what did I see? Well, the good big ones are coming up. So I'm seeing The Weeknd. I've always loved The Weeknd. I'm seeing him at SoFi end of this month. I'm seeing Lady Gaga with my daughter in July. Seeing Brothers Osborne, which is like one of the greatest country acts for years. I've seen them twice already, and they're going to be in Orange County. And one of my other favorites is going to be at the Greek Theater in September. I already got tickets for Teddy Swims.
Wow.
So I am Miss Concert Gal. I love sports, but I love music as well. And there's nothing like being there, you know, at a concert. Listen, I have to fill my void because, you know, I went to the Eras Tour twice and there was nothing like that, of course, with the Queen, Taylor Swift. So I had to, you know, again, money well spent.
Yes.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't even get to go to the Eras Tour. That was one I missed out on, but I
that's unfortunate.
It was amazing by all the videos that I saw, but I have fun at all the concerts coming up. And like I said, thank you so much for joining us today, Linda.
My pleasure, and continued success. And I hope to see you at a Ducks game, Alexis, coming up.
Yes, hopefully.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.